I'm going to read Matthew chapter 13, three verses in Matthew chapter 13. As you well know, we've been on some parables about the kingdom of God, where we're going to continue on that theme today. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, which are the parable, two parables, one of the hidden treasure and one of the costly pearl that are compared to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. How valuable is your home? And you probably say, well, not near as valuable as it was a couple of years ago. I can tell you that, brother. Your car or cars, your trucks, your boat, your guitar, your jewelry, whatever else it is that you possess, how valuable are they? How do you determine the value of something? Well, one way is we have people who are trained and people who get paid. You know, there are people out there who get paid to tell us how valuable our home is. Same thing with cars, that people get paid. Or you can go on a website. If you want to know the value of your car, just type it in. Kelley Blue Book will tell you. NADA, whoever else it is, they'll tell you. Chuck can probably tell us because he's in the business. But there are people who can tell you the value of something. They tell you the value or how much it's worth by placing a price tag on it, putting a price tag on that particular item. Whether it be literally or not, they tell you it's worth X amount of dollars. And yet, we attach value to things that have nothing to do with a dollar bill. We attach much greater value to some things that we possess because of what it means to us. Like sentimental value, for instance. Or even the value of your home. Probably most of us today could readily say our home is worth a whole lot more to us than what it is on paper. Or yet there's those, I mentioned sentimental value of things. You know, this particular item is worth $10 and you wouldn't give it up for $1 million because of what it means to you. Somebody else attaches a value on it, tell them to go fly a kite because they don't know the value of this item in your heart. And that's why some people even will pay more for something than what it's worth. In other words, more than the price tag. I mean, you have auctions. And sometimes people go way beyond what something should sell for because they're in a price war with someone else because they want something for some reason. They want it. And they want it enough that they're willing to pay extra for it. Why? Because it has value to them. And when you stop and think about it, there are a lot of things, there are some things, and probably a lot of things, but there are some things you just cannot place a value on. Some things in life you cannot place a value on, and one of those is life. Unfortunately, there are people out there that place very little value on a human life. And many, when it's in the womb, it's not a life or it's of no value, so therefore we can abort it. we're going to look at two parables that I read for you that tell us that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of our Lord is simply priceless. And I hope it's priceless to you and to me today. And I hope it will be priceless to us tomorrow, Wednesday. It is on Friday because many are getting off work, right? But I'm talking about in the heat of the battle. Is it priceless? When we look at Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46, we will discover what I believe is our proper response to the value of God's kingdom. Jesus says the kingdom of God is priceless. It's of supreme value. And that's what the heart of these two parables is all about. That the kingdom of God above all else is of great value. It is priceless. And if that is the case, which I believe it is, therefore our proper response to the value of God's kingdom, first of all, is to see it as worth more than all others. To see the kingdom of our Lord, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God as worth more than all other kingdoms. You say all other kingdoms? Well, just in case you didn't know there were others, Jesus in Matthew 4, 8 refers to other kingdoms in this world. Matthew 4, 8. And the setting is when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness and Satan was tempting him to circumvent and to take shortcuts to God's plan for him. It says the devil again took him to a very high place, a high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Of course, he said, and all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Jesus had, folks, a divine right to all the kingdoms. But Satan was offering the world to Jesus now on Satan's terms, not God's terms. And I might add, his corrupt terms, which I might add is the terms of all the other kingdoms. I'll just tell you that. All the other kingdoms, rather than the kingdom of God, are corrupt. All the various kingdoms he's talking about within this world, he thought would be enticing to Jesus. Well, guess what? They are enticing to you and me. And these bodies of flesh and blood as we walk around, we are enticed by the kingdoms of this world that are diametrically opposed to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's very enticing because the kingdoms of this world offer us what we want, offer to fulfill our fantasies and our lust. And it's very enticing. But it's opposed to the kingdom of God. It's opposed to the kingdom norms, the norms, the values of God's kingdom. But yet, nevertheless, very enticing. The kingdoms, other than the kingdom of God, the kingdoms of this world, Romans 14, 17 addresses this a little bit, helps us to have a little bit more understanding, sheds a little bit more light on what the kingdoms of this world are about. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That would lead one to believe that he's talking about comparing the kingdom of God with something else, and I believe he is. The kingdoms of this world are consisting of temporal things. You know, eating and drinking is a temporal thing. Now, I don't suggest you quit eating and quit drinking, because then you will go into that eternal state. You already begun it, but you will quickly go into the presence of the Lord, or quickly, or whenever you die, which will speed up the process. So I don't advise that, but the point is, the things and the kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms that we tend to attach ourselves to, the kingdoms that seem to attract our attention and to entice us, are about things that are temporal and not things that are eternal. We'll come back to that verse later. John 12:31 helps us to understand a little bit more about the temporal kingdoms, about the kingdoms of this world, about the kingdoms that are diametrically opposed to the kingdom of heaven. When it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 31, Paul says, or the writer John says that, Jesus says in John, now judgment is upon the world, now I am lifted up upon earth, and I will draw all men to myself. And verse 31, I skipped the line, says, now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Who is he? Satan. The ruler of this world, the prince and the ruler of darkness. You say, I thought God was sovereign. He is. He never has stopped being sovereign. But Satan is a prince and ruler of this world, and yet Jesus is referring to the time that he will be cast out, because he is the prince and the ruler of the kingdoms of this world. And 2 Peter 1:11 says that we will be able to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, one's temporal, one's eternal. One's temporary, one is eternal. That's the battle. We are in these bodies and we're attracted to the things of the kingdoms of this world and the enticement thereof, because it's all about things. It's all about that which is temporal. And we strive after that way too often. But we need to understand and see that the kingdom of heaven is worth greater value than any other. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven is the realm of Christ's reign, which has already begun in the sons of the kingdom, in our hearts. If we are children of God, the reign of God, the kingdom of God has already begun. It has already started. The reign and the rule of Christ within our hearts has begun. And it will continue for all eternity. And it will continue at some point to the point that that's all there will be. There won't be the competing kingdoms. It will all be about the kingdom of God. But until then, we need to remember that we're passing through. And we're bound, or we're bombarded with kingdoms that are diametrically opposed, and the values thereof opposed to the values of the kingdom of heaven. But we need to remember this, that the kingdom of heaven is worth more because it has promise, it has value for the present life as well as for the life to come. The kingdoms otherwise do not offer that. It's of supreme value. You must understand that. You must see that. You must be committed to that. That must be a deep inner conviction of your heart. But also you need to see that because it is worth great value, you need to see it as worth seeking. We need to see it as worth our seeking. Hold on for a minute. If we value something, we should seek it. We value goods sometimes. We value play toys sometimes. And so we seek them. And we arrange our schedule, our work, our finances, so that we might possess the things that we want. And America has perfected the art of doing that. And unfortunately, because Americans have perfected the art of doing that, most Americans are in pitiful, pathetic financial condition. And it's not just because of what our government has done, folks. Lest we cast blame solely there. They haven't told us yet, that I'm aware of, what to do with our money, other than pay taxes. I understand that. You're supposed to pay your bills, but even that you can get by with for a while. But we choose. We choose. And we spend and seek that which we value. That's the point. And Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first, foremost, ahead of all else, above everything else. First and foremost, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He says, all these things that you need in life will be added. What is He saying? Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the rule of God, the will of God, the authority of God daily in your life and in your heart. We don't like to do that, folks. Why? Because then God's in charge and we're not. But last time I checked, God's will is a whole lot better than my will. God's will is perfect. Seek first, foremost, the kingdom of God, His rule, His reign, His authority in your heart and your life, and His righteousness. And He compares it in verse 32, just before that. Not like the heathen who seek after the things of the world, He says. Don't be like the Gentiles or the heathen. Don't seek after things. Don't seek after the temporal. Seek after the eternal, which is the values of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, 6, the Beatitudes, what did Jesus say? Blessed, happy, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are part of the kingdom, it's all about seeking the Lord and His righteousness and His reign, His rule over our lives, foremost above all else. It is the only ambition, John MacArthur says, when it is fulfilled, that brings enduring happiness. Enduring happiness. That's the only ambition, is to seek the righteousness, the rule, the reign, the holiness of God. Remember we looked at Romans 14, 17? The kingdom of God does not consist of eating and drinking, but it consists of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. A direct contrast here. A temporal kingdom that will pass away, that doesn't bring lasting fulfillment. And at best brings very temporary, empty fulfillment. Empty fulfillment. Because it's not fulfilling. It's temporary, so it's not fulfilling. Why? Because we want more of it. That's why we seek so much more of it, because it only satisfies for a moment. The kingdom of God and His righteousness, as we seek it in our life, brings fulfillment, brings happiness, brings peace, brings joy, as we surrender to the Holy Spirit of God who produces those in our life when we seek first the kingdom of God. In Laos, before the colonialists imposed national boundaries, the kings there reached an agreement on taxation in the border areas. Those who ate short grain rice and built their houses on stilts and decorated those houses with Indian-style serpents were considered Laotians. On the other hand, those who ate long grain rice built their houses on the ground and decorated with Chinese-style dragons were considered Vietnamese. Therefore, the location of one's house did not determine his nationality, but they belonged to the kingdom whose cultural values they exhibited. So it is with you and me. We are to exhibit the values of the kingdom, which are eternal, as opposed to the values of the kingdoms other than the kingdom of heaven, which are temporal. We not only are we to see and understand clearly that the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, is worth more than all others. Not only are we to see that, but we're also to see that it's worth our seeking. It's worth our striving after. It's worth our putting highest priority on it. But also we are to see it as worth our total sacrifice. We are to see it as worth our total sacrifice. Herein lies, I believe, the focal point of both parables. First of all, look at the parable of the treasure hidden in the field, which a man found, and from the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. The joy was worth him selling everything to make that treasure his own. And likewise, in the pearl of great price, the pearl was worth so much, he was willing to give up everything for it. Folks, there are many so-called pearls, but keep in mind, there's only one of great price. And in our case, that's the kingdom of God and the values and the norms that go with it. The kingdom. Living under and in and through and with and according to the kingdom of God is to live under and to accept the will of God for our lives. A kingdom, folks, is a state of society, I believe according to Jesus, it's a state of society upon earth where God's will is as perfectly done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember the prayer, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, whatever you wish to call it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that God's will is perfectly done in heaven? Because there's not sin. And it's not done perfectly on earth because of sin. But we can live according to kingdom norms, kingdom values, and we can fulfill the will of God in our lives. And yes, we can do it corporately. If you can do it individually, we can do it corporately. Because we're all submitting to the reign of the kingdom of God. His rule, His reign, His will in our lives. And yes, it is worth every sacrifice to live under that kingdom, to accept the will of God as the norm for our lives. In other words, the one who found the treasure hidden in the field and the one who bought the pearl of great price. Both considered it a fair exchange to give everything they had to own the pearl or the treasure. It was worth everything. How much is the kingdom of God worth to you? I'm talking about how much is it worth for you to live under the rule and the reign and the will of the King of the kingdom? Good question would be, how much have I given up for it? How much am I willing to sacrifice for it? That's why I believe we need to understand that a little more clearly. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 29, I believe the Lord Jesus helps to understand a little bit more about the sacrifice we need to be willing to make as His disciples, as His followers, for the sake of being a part of and living out this kingdom rule over our lives. He says this, and everyone who has left houses, our brothers, our sisters, our father, our mother, our children, our farms, for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. What is he saying? One who comprehends the true value of the kingdom as Jesus presents it will gladly exchange all else to follow him, says D.A. Carson. Let me repeat that. One who comprehends the true value, knows that it's more valuable than any other kingdom. The true value of the kingdom of Jesus, or as Jesus presents it, will gladly exchange all else to follow him. You know, that's what discipleship is all about. Very clearly, Jesus says time and time and time again, like Luke 9:23, he wishes to come after me, must deny himself, must take up his cross and follow me. I can remember years ago, a gentleman who was attending this church, like about 18 years ago, 19 years ago, who another brother in the church was trying to meet with and trying to encourage him because he had professed faith in Jesus Christ. He was trying to disciple him. And the discipler sat down with the one who was being discipled. And he read this passage and he said to him, this is what Jesus calls us to. And he had been professing faith in Christ for a year or so. Plenty long enough to understand what the costs thereof are involved in following Jesus. He said, if that's what Jesus asked for, I'm not willing to give it. I'm out of here. Wow. He left because he wasn't willing to make any sacrifice, or at least a big sacrifice, to be a part of the kingdom values and follow those for his life. That means, folks, if I am willing to sacrifice for the kingdom, if it's that valuable to me, I am willing to sacrifice. And if I'm willing to sacrifice, what's it going to take? It's going to take giving up some of my aims, and oftentimes a lot of our aims. Because you know what the bottom line is? Our aims and our desires and our wishes oftentimes are very selfish. We talked about pleasure. We talked about it in ABF for the last couple of weeks. Rest, recreation, pleasure, resting in God, taking a break from our normal labors is perfectly fine according to God. He set the pattern. But seeking my desires above the kingdom is not. Saying I'm going to rest 24/7, that's not right. Because our time is not our own. We're to invest it in the kingdom. And the rest comes only to enable us to be better servants of the King and to fulfill His will for our life. So we have to give up some of our aims, some of our ambitions. We have to drop some of our habits. And we may need to give up some of our possessions, because sometimes those possessions hinder us from serving in the kingdom and pleasing the king. Did the pastor say don't have any possessions? No, he did not. But you use them properly in a way that will bring glory and honor to the king of the kingdom. You know, it may be difficult to sacrifice. It is difficult. There's no maybe about it. It's difficult because sometimes it's got like God's got to pry it out of our hands because we don't want to let go of these things. But if we're seeking the things of a temporal kingdom more than we are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, His righteousness, then it needs to be pried out of our hands. So it will be difficult. But here, I'm telling you, it's well worth it. No one, Jesus said, remember, who gives up father, mother, farms, your business, your job. I didn't say you had to give it up. But what Jesus is saying, if you need to give it up, give it up. You will have more. And you will enjoy that eternal life with me forever and ever and ever. D.A. Carson also goes on in his commentary to say this: the kingdom of heaven is worth infinitely more than the cost of discipleship. And those who know where the treasure lies joyfully abandon everything else to secure it. Try this for just a second. I know where there's a treasure, and it's got $14 billion there. And if you'll follow me and bring a shovel, we'll meet out by the beach at 2 o'clock. And we'll dig for that treasure. I know right where it is. And I guarantee you, if I knew where it was, I'd be there. I'm not opposed to getting $14 billion. You say it'll corrupt you. Well, and it might. But I guarantee you, all of us, if we know where the treasure is and right where it is, we're going to give some effort seeking it. I know where the treasure is. You know where the treasure is. Don't you think it's about time we seek it with our whole heart? Don't you think it's about time that we set it as greater value than anything else? And we seek it enough that we're willing to sacrifice worldly pleasure, fame, fortune, whatever it might be, in order to seek first that kingdom and His righteousness? Are you willing today to sacrifice to have the will of God fulfilled in your life now and for all eternity? Answer that. Are you willing? Are the treasures of the kingdom of God worth more to you than all others? Don't be too quick to answer that. Because the next one might tell whether or not it's worth all others. Are they worth enough for you to seek? In other words, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? What are you investing your time in? What is your priority? What are your priorities? Is your priority seeking more of the comforts of this world? Or sacrificing to serve the king within His kingdom and living according to His norms, His values? I can't answer that question for you. You can answer it, or possibly your spouse can answer it. Or your friend, possibly your coworker can answer it. But folks, I'm here to tell you today that although I don't seek it with my whole heart and I'm not always willing to sacrifice, I really believe right here that His kingdom is the answer. And it's the greatest treasure. And I should be willing, and hopefully I will be more and more daily, willing to sell everything and even dig for that treasure if I need to, or to jump in that ocean and find that pearl. Because it's a pearl of great price. It's priceless. It's worth seeking. And when I do, I've got the promise of the King of the Kingdom. I will take care of all of your needs. Now that pretty well covers it. I'll take care of all of your needs while you're on this wretched earth. And you'll enter into my presence and rejoice in that kingdom where there's no suffering, no sorrow, no pain, no sin. Perfect fellowship with the King of the King. What are you seeking? We're going to try this. I don't know if Keisha's ready for this or somebody, but just a cappella, seek ye first, would be something wonderful. And I don't care who. If somebody wants to lead us out, I'll jump in whenever I can catch on to what you're saying or what you're doing. Let's stand and just try to make this our prayer, our desire to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that He indeed will add all that we have.